Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
So I'm trusting the Holy Ghost again to remind me of the things he told me about, hallelujah, that I'll be able to say things that are important to us that you are going through at this time. But one thing that struck me as I sat there today is relationship. Because we can't talk about grace if we don't understand the role of relationship in what we are talking about. Okay, please take me. Romans 14. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Now, it's a long scripture. It's very, very long, 23 verses, which I have no time to go into. Now, it talks about verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falleth. Remember, and I say, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Have you noticed the failures, the shortcomings of your brothers or your sisters, and you have warned them over and over again, and they don't seem to want to listen to you? Are you listening to me? Because I thought Mama was saying it as she was preaching, that there are some people you look at and say, this one, the hand of God is upon him, and tomorrow he's nowhere to be found. And there's another person you look at, because the future of him. And it also has to be the one that will carry the unction. And you begin to wonder, what's going on here? And Paul had this to say. He said, who art thou to judge another man's servant? Who art thou to judge? Now, you can take this wrongly. Praise the Lord. And I see this a lot among Christians. They say, don't judge another man's servant. Don't touch my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. Now, that somebody in leadership is setting wrong examples does not allow you. You cannot use that scripture to cover him. When a person is setting a wrong example, it is your responsibility to challenge him. Because thousands will follow him and he will lead them into error. When Peter misbehaved, Paul said they were together, you remember in Galatians 2. He said, and Peter, when he saw some brethren come that came from Jerusalem, he said he separated himself from the Gentiles. Even so, Barnabas too was caught in that anointing simulation. He said, and he said he had to stand up to rebuke him openly. Now, we look, consider that as violating the scripture, that who art thou to judge? I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. Many leaders are doing wrong things and they come under the canopy of don't speak against my anointed. That is not right. Reverend was speaking about childish nature. If many of our men of God were in the position that Peter found himself, I want to tell you, Paul will lose his apostleship that day. He will lose it. Because they will do meeting in Jerusalem. And they will cancel his apostleship. And tell all the churches that don't let him in. That he spoke against the Lord's anointed. This was the man that Jesus Christ said, upon my church, upon this rock I build my church. The gates of hell. This is Peter who opened the floodgates. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. Amen. There are things we must understand in relationships. Thank God for the manifestation of grace. You see this, but you see, there is still this human dimension to all of us. The Reverend was speaking of, which I believe he will speak about later, that you and I must see that we are still work in progress. Many of us are still work in progress. There is a problem that you may not be able to see your flaws. Many of us can't see our flaws. I can't. It will take him to recognize I have a flaw and come to me and say, Pastor, observe this.
Now, if I rise up and say, when were you ordained in the ministry? Then I've made a mistake. I have frustrated the grace.
Are you with me? Grace is a very interesting aspect of life. Are you with me? Grace may never tell you your problem. Grace will wait for her to see your problem and tell you. And will see whether you will humble yourself and submit to that grace. That's when it will help you. Remember, God, I want to see a manifestation of grace in the life of Moses. Moses was judging Israel morning till night. Morning till night. And his father-in-law was the Gentile. And the father-in-law called him and said, young man, if you continue this way, you will die. Why don't you choose men that you will hand over this responsibility to and let them also judge Israel? Now, when they have difficult things to deal with, they can come to you. There you can. So you can live long. Now, why did God not tell Moses? God didn't tell him. That man would have killed himself. And God would have raised Joshua and said, Joshua, Moses, my servant, has died. Take over. Do you understand the wisdom of relationships? We need one another. And it's interesting to say, said, why are you judging him as if he can't make it? Why are you looking at him as if he has no future? He says, this is what really trips me. He says, before his master, he stands or falleth. Now, when he falls, he expects to stay falling. But this is, he said, yea, he shall be holding up. He said, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, it is God's committed desire that guy should not fall. You have to learn to cooperate with grace. Because it's not part of grace program to make a man fall. It says, yeah, God is able. God is willing to make that man stand. So let us understand that. Now, Reverend Case told us of his own pathway of grace. One particular brother was used of God by, no, that man was a man of grace, was an instrument of grace to teach him patience, long suffering. There are people they will put, grace will deliberately set some people in your life to make your life miserable. It's grace. Because when we look at, you were talking in that song, if you look at where you came from, the mistakes you would have made, it was God. Everything is working for your good. They are arranging them for your good. But you may not see good now. When they say God is good, does not mean God is nice. They are different. God is not a nice God. God is a good God. You know, nice. It's not a nice God. It's a good God. It's good, not nice. It was the goodness of God that raised up Pharaoh to oppress Israel. That was good. But it was not nice. That they use it as an example. Am I talking to you? That it may show the whole creation that is the Almighty. But you see, do you know it's an interesting thing, sir? God did not kill Pharaoh. Apart from all the judgment, it was Pharaoh that went to kill himself. Pharaoh committed suicide when he followed Israel into the Red Sea. God would have left that young man to go his way, and man would have gone to lick his wounds, and he would have rebuilt, and who knows, he would have been saved. That was what I believe grace had in mind for him. But the man said, Kai, not until I'm in disgrace. Enter Red Sea. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. We are all going through processes. It may not be pleasant. It may not even be something that was even planned. There are some people that plan your suffering. They organize your suffering for you. That's another rep. But there are things you cannot control. It's just let us accept the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will come out of it in the name of Jesus. Many things, even when we make stupid mistakes. No, there are mistakes that are good mistakes, but there are other stupid mistakes, amen, that we make. I can guarantee you that many people make many of those. Hallelujah. But even at that, God is still able to make you stand. Can we bow our heads and talk to the Lord? Make me stand. Make me stand. He's able to make you stand. He's not interested in your fall. He's not interested in you stumbling. He's not interested in you failing.
You may look and ask yourself, oh, what do I have? No. God is still able. He's able to perfect what concerns you. God is committed to making you stand. I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm looking up to you for help. Help me to stand. I don't want to fail. I thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. 1 Corinthians 12. Yesterday, I spoke to us about the Holy Ghost. And something about the Holy Ghost that intrigues me is that assignment he has. The Azusa revival was a good revival. But there's still going to be another kind of revival that will birth the full ministry of the Holy Ghost. I want us to look forward to the full manifestation of his ministry in our lives. Before David came on the scene, the Bible recorded that the men that followed Saul were nobodies. They were just ordinary human beings that go to war, and they are just like that. Some died, few of them died, quite a number of them died eventually, you know, and many of them were scattered. They were fearful men. But when David came, the Bible says this man metamorphosed. Men that were debtors, men that were depressed, men that were nobodies, you know, just metamorphosed over a period of time, and the Bible called them valiant men. They were recorded to be mighty men, and there were 30 of them that were distinguished. Distinguished. And when you look at their pedigree, see what they did. In fact, any of them would have been successfully a king. I mean, do you want to talk about that young man that the Bible said the Philistines' army ambushed them in one field and everybody ran, but this young man stood with a sword in his hand and took down 300 soldiers. You think it's a small feat to take on 300 men? One man in the midst. How many of you have done one fight? Have you seen one fighting? To beat one man is a difficult thing. To now take on 300 is a different ballgame entirely. These were men. Or the one the Bible says entered into a ditch during winter, snow pit, and took out a lion. Went there, we had no sandals, with legs. He had no grip. Nothing was gripping him. He could sleep and become prey. That it was even already stupid for him to have entered there. Normally, like who said it? Who said it? Okay, fella said, while asleep, younger go wake up. Do you understand me? The man went to look for Wahala. These were men. But at no time did any of them aspire to become the king. Because they recognized grace. That was only David that carried the grace of headship. And every man took his own place. Nobody was breaking ranks. In 1 Corinthians 12, which is what I want to share from primarily this morning, let's say from verse 6. Are you there? It says there are diversities. Okay, sorry. Let me take from verse 4. Okay, sorry. Let me take from 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were what? Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Amen. Now, because they were Gentiles, did not mean that they were ignorant of supernatural manifestations. Am I talking to you? They were Gentiles that knew about spiritual and supernatural manifestations. Amen. They were led by dumb idols. He called them dumb idols, but they were, in reality, they were fallen angels. They were real. They had testimonies of realities. Amen. Am I talking to you? I had the opportunity of watching the story of Alexander the Great. And his mother was said to be a witch. But she was so powerful a witch that she could conjure certain things. Now, the record was that every time Alexander went to war, an eagle flew over his head. An eagle always flies over his head. And anytime that eagle is flying, there is nobody that can take down Alexander. But he went to India and fought in the forest. And there was no connection with that eagle.
Alexander almost died that day. So that was the last time he fought a battle when he cannot see that eagle. The day Alexander died, that eagle went back home. And mother was at the window watching when she saw that eagle come. When that eagle came, the woman just collapsed and they ran to her king mother. So what happened? She said, Alexander is dead. How do you know? Said, I saw the eagle. There were supernatural things. So you are not the only one. Am I making sense? Those guys know about it. Said, but I don't want you to be ignorant about certain things. Praise the Lord. Now we continue. Now verse 2.
Is it 2?
Verse 3. He says, wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there is, praise God, there's a working of the Holy Ghost in your heart. I don't know how many times doubts arise in your heart, like it does mine. And there are times I ask myself questions. Am I on the right path? I evaluate myself. I hope I have not believed a cunningly devised fable. I want to be sure. Because I can't afford to play Ludo with my soul. If it turns out that I cross into eternity, I'm out, but Kai, I've made a mistake. Go say I'm sorry. This case closed. Am I talking to us? So I want to be sure. But you see, what gives me the confidence to go on is a work of grace. He said, no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. It takes the Holy Ghost to recognize that Jesus is still the Lord and He will remain the Lord. There's a working in your heart which you must never despise, because it's the foundation of every action you take, that Jesus is the Lord. And it takes the working of the Holy Ghost to keep you convinced. And I want you to, I'm just taking these things, no, just keep explaining. These are very rudimentary, praise God. I know many of you know Bible past me, but just let us follow. Abi, amen. And then, now in our service, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts. How many? Now, Paul listed just 9 here. And that's where my problem is. You said there are diversities, but you mentioned 9. And we have been logged into 9. There are diversities of gifts. Under what category will you put the gift that was upon Samson? Is this the spirit of might? But the Holy Ghost came upon him, and the man could do things that no ordinary man could do. Am I talking to us? Or the one that came upon David when he went to war? All these were all manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not bound. You can't bind him. His ability to empower, his ability to create anything that he wants to create, is boundless. I was talking with one of my pastors yesterday. He said one of the problems, he was talking with a Muslim yesterday before coming down. Said the Muslim said, I have one problem. He said, what is the problem? He said, how can God have a son without a wife? That's the problem of the Muslim. Then he said, do you agree with the Almighty that there's not... Meanwhile, they accept the fact that there's nothing he cannot do. So why is it that he cannot do that? Then if he cannot do that, that means he's not Almighty. He's the one who made up his mind that the way man will procreate, the two man and woman, if he chose to do it another way, can you bind him? No. You don't have that right. Praise the Lord. So once you knock that off his head, he has nowhere to stand. Then the issue is, you know, the problem with Muslims is the New Testament. It's the New Testament. So don't attempt to preach from the New Testament to a Muslim. It won't work. Go and preach the gospel from the Old Testament. Amen. I won't want to go into that direction, but I just leave that to you too. Because you will meet many of them. So that you know the strategy to use when you meet them. Praise the Lord. So, he said there are diversities. There are diversities. There are diversities of gifts. Grace, the Bible calls the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. So when you are seeing gifts manifesting, These are manifestations of grace. Praise the Lord. Every servant of God is a manifestation of grace. What you saw today was a manifestation of grace. Every ministration has been a manifestation. Because you are first the product of grace before you can preach the word of grace. And all this is possible because of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He now said, but there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Abba. This is the, there's no better explanation of the Trinity than this word. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the one who carries all the gifts. But the Lord is the one who administers the gifts. But the results, the operations of these gifts is God. Hallelujah. Every man has a measure of these giftings of the Holy Ghost. And this is what I was trying to say yesterday, that some of us, in a way, we frustrate the grace of God because many of us lack self-confidence. It takes a level of confidence to release that thing. Paul writes it to Timothy, he says, stir up the gift that was imparted to you by the laying of the hands of the presbytery. You see, nobody's going to do that for you. You have to stir it up. However, some of us find ourselves in certain local assemblies where they will not allow that thing to be stirred up. And I liken that to the testimony or to the parable of the talents. One said, I hid the what you gave me, I hid it. As I had different, I had difficulties with dealing with those issues, so I hid it. Now when you come, whatever I want to do with your gift or talent, go and do it. And of course, you know that that brother, that servant was cast into outer darkness. You will not be that kind of person in the name of Jesus. There is a place for experimentation. Do you understand me? There is what? Experimentation. I didn't start off like this. I was born a shy person. Though I was, like I told you yesterday, I was a very mean person, but I was shy. I was quietly very mean. Do you understand those kind of people? Very quiet, they go their way, but don't cross their path. I was not a preacher. They made a mistake one day doing, I was secondary debate. They asked me to stand before the school to come and talk. That was the greatest error of all times. I couldn't say one word. My house lost gallantly. Because I didn't know what to say. I just got there and my leg was going one direction. One was going one direction. Everything was just not organized. So I was not used to talking. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether you are with me. And I had this experience until I got born again. And I was just my quiet person. Until one day, they said, come and join the Bible study group. I didn't know what they saw. And I joined the Bible study group. And then they made one mistake. I said, you're going to be leading the Bible study this evening. I think it was, okay, following the, you lead a group. And I died many times before that date. I died. Every time I wake up, my heart does big. God, this is the final one. I'm going to die here. And I prayed. I said, God, have mercy. Just help me. See, tomorrow, I don't remember what I said. Now, they made it so bad. At that time, we used to do it by lot. 1, 2, 3. Are you getting me? All the people that they chose that was in my group, I was in 200 level, were all final year students. They were all in the school. They were the people that give prophecy. They were the spiritual. So I was like, what will I say? That these people will be, okay, we'll try. We'll call. And when they say, we'll be your oh, Shidada. I'm going to encourage any. But God helped me. After the meeting, they all said, man, you blessed me. In fact, you even did beyond what I experimented. I could have run away. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. I took a risk of failing. I could easily, are you with me? I said, no, I'm on bulo. I won't try it. And many of you shut down the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you think it never comes. Have you ever come forward? You feel a stirring in your heart and you come out and you fumble. Many of you will never come back. And that's not good. I read the testimony of Charles Francis Hunter. She said she read the word of God, and the word of God says, "You shall lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover." And she said she kept laying hands on the sick and they didn't recover. But on this particular some occasions, she laid hands on the sick and they died. If you were the person, would you ever lay hands again? That's where the problem is. You are frustrating the grace. The grace was there, but she needed to stir it up. She sensed there was a swell, there was something in her soul that there is this, you have a grace in this direction. And she needed to pursue it. But in starting, she was failing. Now, all of you here, are you aware that you were once a kid? Like this young, pretty girl? I don't know how old she is, but there was a time when my parents probably were thinking, when will this girl walk? When will this girl walk? I remember when my twins were walking, were growing up, we were wondering who will walk first, who will not walk first, who will walk first, who will not walk. Suddenly one day she thought, Lori just stood up. Just stood up and started walking. And then we talked to Shesson, when are you going to start walking? And Shesson kept us waiting for about a month or two. And suddenly one day, you just woke up and started walking. But it was not easy. They walked a few steps and they stumbled. Walked a few steps. Now, do you know that you did not give up? Now, if you didn't give up then, what makes you think you need to give up now? If grace taught you to persist when you were so small, what makes you think you could come to church and stop persisting until that grace gets a complete expression? We must learn how to accommodate people's failures. Now, listen, don't be proud. You prophesy and you probably cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. They say, shut up. What are you prophesying? Did you listen to EP, the way he talks? Imbra Sandaha Ingahida. You are doing cha-cha. Shut up, yeah, we don't. Amen. But if you just start like that, if you just started cha-cha-cha-cha. But it was in the midst of people that encouraged him. They didn't laugh him to scorn. You know, we have friends. That was we were low prophesying. About we get church. They will just discourage you and kill you. Hallelujah. Don't confess your sin. But let us learn to encourage one another. If he didn't do it well, say bro, oh shaking your dad, by cannot shin shake. I was told of a testimony. Archbishop was in a program and Bishop Waluke was there. And Bishop Waluke went to take offering. When he finished taking offering, Archbishop said, this is time to take offering. And taught him how to take. He has been a pastor for a long time. They taught him how to take offering. Hallelujah. Am I talking to Ross? But he didn't say, and I've discouraged him. Let us learn how to encourage one another. So there are differences of administrations. It is the Lord who determines who administers these things. And it's supposed to, see, we must, I don't know, you being in Ibadan is a work of administration. That's a portion they've given to him. Praise the Lord. How you will go depends on the Lord. That is what we call the diversities of operations. So we may have prophets, and they may not be on the same operation. God will help us if we appreciate one another. We don't put one another down. Because grace is working to teach us how to respect one another. To teach us how to help one another. I want to say this. If grace has revealed something to you, he expects you to teach her. Grace will not come back and go and start all over again. Will expect you to go and learn from her. So that's why the Bible says, every man supplying till we all come to that unity of the faith. How many of you have friends that are not of this family, in quotes? How many of you try to cross boundaries and talk to your friends who are maybe in Baptist
and try and upgrade them. Many of you look at them and say, hey guys, born again Baptist, born again. Hey, new rev. So, Ogbo eternal life, I'm also very well, but well, you understand? You are not discerning the body. Is it not Reverend Ken said he went to Sele one day to go and preach? Was it you? It was a testimony that helped me go to KNSO. And I got there, they said, remove your shoe. If you say remove your, I will remove. Hallelujah. I'm all things to all men. Praise God. Hebrews 4, let us take it from verse 1. Hebrews 4, 1. Now, I want to say some things and praise the Lord. Hebrews 4, interesting book. The will of God. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. When we speak about grace for glory, we do understand that the end point of grace is what? Is glory. Now, he said unto us that you and I must pay attention to our lives. Because a promise be made, you can come short of it. You may not arrive at the destination. It may be aborted. And he alluded to a people that first heard the gospel of grace. Do you know that God had no program either to for Israel than the program of grace? It was the fact that they frustrated on Mount Sinai. They said, Moses, we don't want to hear God. You go hear God. His intention that they were going to be a kingdom of priests and kings. But they frustrated it and they became a kingdom having priests. They were all ought to be priests. They were all were supposed to come before Jehovah and have access to these things. But they frustrated it. They said it was not mixed with faith. What was faith? They did not accept the gospel as true. They could not believe that it was achievable. Because they could not see how it can happen. So rather than accepting it, they rejected it. They said, no, it can't happen. It can't happen. It can't happen. No. So the Bible says they came short of it. It was not mixed with faith. There was no acceptance of that truth. Reverend spoke a lot about truth. And I said a little about truth. Experiential truth. Things you've come to appreciate. Things you've come to experience. But it first comes by hearing first before you experience. You do experience first before you believe. You believe before you experience. Hallelujah. Am I talking to us? But for them, when they heard what God had in mind, they said it can't work because there is no testimony of anyone who had ever accessed this glory. They said it was not possible. So it was not mixed with faith. And we see the allusion. The Bible says when they got into the edge of the promised land, the land of promise. Now, the land of promise is similar to the promise of glory. What was physical to them is supernatural, is spiritual to us. They are the same thing. They were all promises. They said, come in into the land flowing with milk and honey. There is glory. Hallelujah. And I don't know what happened. It was God that caused that. I do, because I can't explain what happened. God said, choose one man to represent each tribe. Send him to the land and let them go and see. That was a prophetic action. They were go see and bring a word. There are prophets who are seeing these things, this glory, and they are speaking of them. But there is a danger that you may look at it and say, kini yo ko look real. Eternal life enu po date mo le ri and di mo sise. It is not said that a bird in hand is worth two in the jungle. This glory I can see. It's better than my pursuit than the glory I can see. We take decisions every day. It takes faith. They be painting the picture of glory, and yet many of us still can't accept the testimony of this glory. Because it doesn't resonate with something inside of us. This is not what I'm looking for. The Bible speaks about those who through patience, continuous doing, seek for. And that brings me to what I said yesterday, that many of you have not been able to define what exactly is your hope. What exactly are you looking for? You don't know it. Oh, we are looking. When you say, oh, I'm looking for eternal life, I ask, what exactly is eternal life? If they give you, will you recognize it? Am I talking to you? You know, eternal life, they can package it in a very, very yeah way. And you will know. How do I know? The Bible says a man was looking for a precious stone, pearl. But it was in the field. Do you know how many people were passing over that field? They didn't know it was there. Many people passed that place, they did not know that pearl was there. That man found it. The man went to sell everything and bought it. And the man who sold it did not know that thing was precious. So many of us, you need the Holy Spirit, you need grace to change your value system. That's what Reverend was talking about yesterday. That they will start doing deliverance for you from certain things you love. That is a different level of deliverance. When I was speaking yesterday about life, see, the life of God is based upon His aspirations. It's based upon His values, His philosophy. That is what creates life. That is His life. When you see a man that is vain, certain things drive him. He must smoke. If he doesn't smoke, he's not living. It's not biological. It's not what you are breathing and breathing out. No, it's not biological. It's soul. There's something that makes the soul tick. That is his life. And that's why you need to hear the gospel of grace, that it can paint a new picture of another tomorrow. Many of us, we cannot see beyond. Today is Saturday, we can't see beyond Monday. Your imagination can't go beyond Monday. Some are so good, they can only see till Friday next week. That's where it stops. Their hope is very ephemeral when we get to heaven. At the marriage supper, all saints shall gather at the final assembly. I don't know where they got that song from. Hallelujah. Am I talking to us? The life that God has called us to is a life of glory. But please remember that glory is being defined from the perspective of God, not of any man. You have to accept that as true. It takes faith. That God's life is better. And it's so interesting that God has shown this life in such a package that is not interesting to man. He is deliberate so that only those who are worthy of it can take it. Are you with me? Now it is when you now step into the glory, they will now unveil it. You will now say, Kai, so this is what they were talking about. I thank God I didn't miss it. That you will worship God for all of eternity. Because you didn't miss it. But right now, it is veiled. It is packaged in such a way that even mouth, ordinary, our mind cannot conceptualize. Nobody can define the glory to you. Even those who have gone to heaven and come down have not seen the glory. So I saw angel. You have not seen no nothing. But they've not unveiled it. Bible talk about the ages to come. There's not one age. Ages to come. So the Bible says, the gospel was preached to them to enter into his rest. His rest was the Sabbath. I had this to say. The Bible said that the cloud followed them by day and the pillar of fire followed them at night. And they ate manna for 40 years. The Bible said the day they entered into the promised land, that manna ceased. Thus signifying they entered into their Sabbath. But the Bible says God was not pleased with many of them. Then he later on said, if Joshua had given them rest, there would have been no need for another rest. It was on the basis of that that we go to verse 16. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Look, let me read there. God have mercy. I wanted to jump all these things, but I'm being drawn back. Verse 8, for if Jesus, that is Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his works, as God did from his. Are you with me? What happened? God ceased from his work. He says you two should cease from your work. You should cease from your own struggle. You should cease from your own energy. You should come into a rest. Hallelujah. That is driven by grace. Grace also is an energy. You know, food creates energy. How many of you have tried doing things without food? Until when food enters your body, you now have energy. Amen. Grace is also a spiritual energy. So cease from your work that grace can come. Hallelujah. Then he went on to say this. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And this is a concern for me. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of this reason of infirmity, because of the reason that you are asked to labor to enter, the word labor means to struggle. Yet you say you should cease from your work. Doesn't that sound a little bit contradictory? It can't naturally be done. You see, it's a paradox. And they deliberately created it so that a natural man can access it. Amen. Only he that is born of the Spirit can access it. Let us therefore labor to enter into the rest where it says we should cease from. Amen. For we have an high priest. The person to whom it is possible to access this is called that high priest. Reverend was speaking about raising on priests. As we were talking, as I sat down this morning, I made up my mind, I'm going to send a message to my friend and tell him that you have been raised the priest after the order of the sanctuary, not after the order of the camp. I hope that will cause atakata in his mind. Now, what am I talking about? There are so many. I wish ministers would understand this simple truth, that they are ministers of the sanctuary, not ministers of the camp. They are ministers of camp. Let them go and do camp. But those of the sanctuary, they handle, they love the lively oracles. We have an high priest. He said, come. Then verse, it says, the next verse. Where are we? No, I've left this place. What do you call it? Take me to 16. I don't have time for that. My time is almost up. Praise the Lord.
Let us therefore do what? Come. Now, you see, it is instructive to realize, to say that, he said, we have an high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. I started this meeting by speaking about our infirmities. We all have infirmities. You have seen the rest ahead of you. They spoke about the glory. They recognized that within you, you don't have the capacity to access it. Am I making sense to us? They know that. God knows that. In fact, praise God. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, he wasn't expecting them to fulfill it because he knew they can't fulfill it. I believe he was hoping they would recognize that fact and go and meet him and say, God tells you, Ali She. But they were unwise. So when they were going to kill themselves, it instituted the sacrificial system. The sacrificial system was to save them because they were going to break the law anyhow. And that was they carried on for many years, trying to satisfy. So they now felt that it was a sacrifice that God really wanted. I don't know whether you understand me. And God said, no, I wanted you guys to find out that this is of grace. But they didn't see it. Is it not? Have you ever given a thought that Moses was not under the law? Are you aware that none of the prophets were ever under the law? Not even David. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if those guys were not under the law, what were they operating by? They were operating grace. But it's possible for you not to see. I may run up and down. I may doing programs. As they were doing programs. So, but he said they had infirmities. He understands your infirmity. That is why you must come. And he said, will you come out boldly to where? The throne of grace. The word throne, somebody has explained to us that the throne means,
praise the Lord. Aha! I've received grace to stop struggling. That time I was struggling. You can see me sweating. Praise the Lord. Then there's another level of grace coming. This place will be easy. Then grace will take us to another level. Hallelujah. There will be no need for sweat. Amen. You need grace because you're a man of infirmities. When you look at yourself and you look at what God is speaking about, glory, there's a lot of disconnect. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, this expectation is too high. So, you know, Christians have therefore come to a position where they have lied to themselves to accept the condition of death. Remember, I was speaking about that there are ministers that believe that sin should not be spoken about. They've accepted it as given. So let us remain in this position. Anyway, we are born again, we'll go to heaven. That is not God's final program. Is that men may inherit glory. And that is not when you die. Hallelujah. The Bible spoke about this before in Hebrews 11. The Bible says, they without us cannot be made perfect. Even God, the first elder, is not yet perfect. Until those people arrive and bring everything to perfection. Hallelujah. Therefore, let it be known to the house of Israel that it's not of him that runneth, it's not of him that willeth, but of God that does what? That shows mercy. Say, come and receive what? Mercy. The first thing you must ask for anytime you approach that throne. And that throne, remember, speaks up. Whenever you see throne, you're talking about the kingdom. The foundation of the kingdom is this throne of grace. In the Old Testament, the Bible said the foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. This New Testament has metamorphosed into grace. And what flows is mercy. Every time you come, please. I hear people take that prayer. Lord, I come before you, I receive grace and mercy. We always put it upside down. We invert it. You don't obtain grace. before mercy. You first find mercy before they can give you grace. If they don't show mercy, you can't get grace. You never see grace. It's mercy. There's one particular parable of Jesus. He used to give me wahala. I don't understand why he said so. It was about this servant master thing. He said the kingdom of God is like a man, you know, who has servants who go to work in the fields, and when they are finished working, they come back and they serve their master. And after they have served their master, they come and tell their master that we are profitable servants. We've done what we have been told to do. I was like, what does it mean? Listen to me. Jesus recognized you have infirmities. You have weaknesses. Every time, when I talked about humility yesterday, it is acknowledgement of your inability. Because God will never help him or her who has ability. So you need mercy. I need mercy. It is on the platform of mercy that grace is given for help in the time of need. They release grace for need. All of us are creatures of need. We have needs. And I'm going to talk about needs. I'm not talking about money, my school fees. I want to travel to Lagos. I don't have money. I'm in need. I'm not talking about that need. That need is tied to your infirmities. That need is tied to you making it and laying hold upon the promise given. That is your need. We all have need. Because let me tell you, I don't have the strength to lay hold upon what God is showing me. Let me give you the physical representation. You think it was easy? I think I've had time to share it in the Believers Convention and some other places. I went to Google giants in ancient times and all that, and I found archaeological findings. They found skeletons of men 40 feet tall in the Middle East. Those were giants, the sons of Anakim. 40 feet. You saw it. It's not that they fabricated it. They showed the excavator excavating the skeleton in the ground. Human beings there. I was looking for the excavator because they took it for the aerial picture. So we could see the whole skeleton. The excavator was very small. How will a 5-foot Jew fight a 40-foot giant? No. They said we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. They were correct. Oh, Paro. Faith does not deny the facts. It was our conclusion that was the problem. Say, for we are not able. Caleb and Joshua said, for we are well able, for God has given us. But between that giving and actual possession, they needed grace. So you and I must revert back to he that has the key and the strength and the means and the technology to do what he has said we should do. My consolation as I bring this to a close. All the great people that ever walked the earth, many people have done fantastic things. We speak of Paul. How many of you know about the Bishop of Ireland, St. Patrick's? The great work he did in Ireland. That guy was terrible. Those guys worked in supernatural operations. There were men who have worked. Churches, you go and read them. They were giants of the faith. When I read their list, I tell myself, that maybe there's no hope. Because I see this, my surroundings, I see my situation, and I shake my head. Now, it's the truth that except God, there is nothing we can do. So I've stopped looking at myself. I've stopped looking at my weaknesses. I've started looking at his ability. So it is by his ability. It is by his spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. I thank God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The speaking in tongues, the manifested. We need it. We need it. In fact, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to implore you, please. Talk to the pastor. Let them pray for you. Let them fill with the Holy Ghost. You need it. For those of us who are filled, let us begin to aspire to something greater. Not just for ministry, but for living. For living. For living. For living. We need to live. And we need to begin to live by the power of God. I don't know what God will do. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has not come into the heart of men what God has in mind to them that love Him. It says, but God has told us. I pray God will show you. Because it takes God to bath a vision in your heart. Only Him can bath that vision. I want us to bow our heads and pray this morning. Because you are a product of your vision. You are a product of what you can envision. I'm not talking about the ones men have taught you and what men have told you, but there is a vision God can birth in you. And your grace, and that vision is linked to the giftings of the Spirit. What God has deposited on your inside. What He has graced you for. Where you are required to operate. There's an allocation of activity given to you and I. Where you are required to show forth. But say you have need of grace. You have need of mercy and grace. I want you to pray and ask the Lord. And give me visions. Birth visions in me. Birth visions in me. It's not what I think. It's what you are telling me to do. Ask the Lord everything that you did not plant in me. I give you permission to uproot it. Every thought, every vision, every inclination, every wrong doctrine, every wrong operation that is inaccurate, Lord of heaven, I judge them and I ask that your will be done in my life. Show mercy to me, Lord. Show me mercy and help me. Show mercy and help me. I don't know how tomorrow will play like. I don't know what is in store. I can't even see it. My eyes, I don't have sight. I'm trusting you, Father, that you will take care of my tomorrow. Father, Kabo Jin Brahashikendroski Vajatishta Lindriskim Brahoski Polusti.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.